Today's daf is Shabbos daf lamed. Hey, it's good to see everybody, and we're right in the middle of the sugya of Dinah Shmashos. Yesterday on daf lamed dalim beis, we went through three shitos in Tanaim about when Ben HaShemashos is. We had the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, and Rabbi Yossi, and we had a machlokas amoraim, what the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in fact is. So just to go with the easier sheetos first, Rabbi Nechemiah held that Ben HaShemashos is the amount of time from the time the sun sets that it takes a person to walk a half a meal. The shear of a meal is a machlokas, whether it's 18 minutes or 22 and a half minutes or maybe even as much as 24 minutes. So from Shkia until the amount of time that it takes to walk half a meal. Once you get past that point, then it's already Tzeis HaKochavim. Rabbi Yossi holds, no, Ben HaShemashos is a split second. It's Keheref Ayin. It takes just a moment of time. And Rabbi Yehuda had seemed to have said two contradictory things. He seemed to have said at first that when the eastern side of the sky, the lower part of the eastern side of the sky is red, that's Ben HaShemashos. But then he said that even when the lower part of the eastern side of the sky is dark and the top part is not yet dark, that's Ben HaShemashos. So the way Rabbah understood it is that they're both Ben HaShemashos. Both when the bottom part of the eastern side of the sky is red, as well as when it gets dark, that's all the period of Ben HaShemashos, and that lasts, the way we concluded yesterday, three chalakim of a meal, which means three quarters of a meal. Whereas Rav Yosef understood, no, that Rabbi Yehuda holds while the lower part of the eastern side of the sky is red, that's not yet Ben HaShemashos, that's Vadayom. Even though the sun has set already, that's still Vadayom, even after sunset. It only becomes Ben HaShemashos when the lower part of the eastern side of the sky is dark. How long does that last? Two parts of a meal. What does it mean, two parts? Two-thirds of a meal. So the difference between Rabbah and Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Yehuda is whether the period of Ben HaShemashos lasts three-quarters of a meal or two-thirds of a meal. So the Gemara just points out, we're up to the second line in Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, that these numbers that Rabbah and Rav Yosef say, two and three, those numbers come up in a different machlokas, Rabbah and Rav Yosef, where one shita says two and the other one says three, but the opinions are reversed. Now, the other machlokas has absolutely nothing to do with the Zmanim, it's got absolutely nothing to do with anything that we're talking about, other than the fact that it's the same protagonists and that two and three are the key numbers in that machlokas. Other than that, there's no real connection. So says the Gemara, v'chilufa b'chalsa. The opinions are reversed between Rabbah and Rav Yosef in terms of the numbers 2 and 3 in the machlokas regarding a large basket. Da'amar Rabbah, chalsa bas trei kuri, shari l'tiltula, ubas tlasa kuri asa l'tiltula. Rabbah holds that if you have a basket that can hold two kur, so that's still considered a kli, and as a kli, it's not muktza, you're allowed to move it, you're allowed to handle it on Shabbos. But if it can hold three kur, then it's already too big to be considered a kli, and therefore it's aser to be metaltel such a basket on Shabbos. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, no, bas tlasa kuri nami shari. Even if it can hold three kur, it's still mutter to move it on Shabbos. Bas arba'a kuri aser. But if it's four kur, then it's aser to move it on Shabbos. So you see, Rav Yosef is the one that says three is still permissible. Rabbah is the one that says two is permissible, which are the reverse of the numbers that we had in terms of the zmanim of Ben HaShemashos. Amar Abayi, boi minei demar, b'shas maisa v'afilu bas trei kuri lo sharali. So Abayi says, you know, as much as we say that Rabbah held lahalacha, that he was willing to say that if it's too kur, you're allowed to be metaltalit, he says, halacha l'maisa, I once had such a shayla, and I asked him, what do you hold about moving something that's two kor? Mar, when Abai refers to Mar, it's Rabbah. It's not Rav Yosef, even though Rav Yosef was Abai's Rebbe also, but it's a reference to Rabbah. So he says, I asked Rabbah when we had the Shaila come up Lumaisa, and he wouldn't even allow being metaltal a basket that could hold two kor. So come on, who's he assuming like by being so machmir? It's not like his own shita. So where does he find such a shita in Tanaim that's so machmir? So kahai tana, he's assuming like the following tana. Ditnan, we have a mishnah kaveres hakash. If you have a basket made out of straw, kaveres hakanim, or a basket made out of reeds, ubor svina alexandris, or the bar of an Alexandrian boat. What's the bar of an Alexandrian boat? Rashi says svina gadola. They would have these large cruise ships, let's say, these large boats, they didn't have cruise ships, but whatever it was, these large boats, Shaporsim Baliyam Agadol, that they would go on a journey to the Yam Agadol, Mehayam Meluchin, and the Yam Agadol, when you go to the ocean water is all salt water, so water everywhere, but not a drop to drink, right? They needed to have drinking water when they're going for a long period of time. So Vaosim Klei Gadol, Kamin Bor, Venosim Lutocho Mayim Yafim. So they would keep a fresh water supply on the boat. The fresh water supply was kept in a bar that was on the boat because they couldn't rely on the water that was all around in the ocean. So that bar that they had in the Sfina Alexandris and all of these kelim, afal pi sheishlam shulayim, even though there is a bottom to the kli, vein machzikos mem sa belach, and they can hold 40 sa of liquid measure, shehein kurayim biyavish, which translates into roughly 2 quarts of a dry measure, tahorim. They are going to be tahor, meaning whether something is considered a kli or not a kli has two nafkaminas that the Gemara relates to. One nafkamina is whether it becomes muktzah or not. Only something that's not a kli is muktzah. If it is a kli, it's not going to be muktzah. And the other nafkamina is whether it's mekabel tuma. A kli is mekabel tuma. If it's not a kli, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. So when he says that such a kli is tahorim, what they mean to say is that it's considered to be too large to be mekabel tuma. Rashi points out, why is it that something that's too large can't be mekabel tuma? Why does it lose its shame kli in regards to tuma? De iskash kli eitz l'sak, that there is a hekish between kli eitz and sak, and a bag, sackcloth, the metaltal mole verekan, that it has to be something that can be moved both when empty and when full. But if a kli gets too large, you may be able to move it when it's full, but you're not able to move it when it's empty, but you're not able to move it when it's full. V'ze'enu metaltal mole, the gadol yosher midai, v'im yitaltalu yishavar biyadehem. It's too big to move when it's full, and it would break, it would fall apart if you try to move it when it's full. So Amar Abayi, Shema Mina, Hai Gudsha Tilsavi. Abayi says, just from the measurements that we gave, that a kli that could hold 40 sa of liquid measure could hold 2 quarts of dry measure, 2 quarts happens to be 1/3 larger than 40 sa'a. So how is it that it could hold 40 sa'a of liquid measure and 2 quarts of dry measure? Because when you are putting something dry into a kli, you can heap it above the rim of the kli. A liquid obviously can only go to the rim of the kli. So he says, we see from the proportions that are mentioned that typically 1/3 of the size of the kli can be the heaping portion above the rim of the kli. But anyway, that's the shita that Rabba was assuming, like when Rabba didn't even allow moving a kli that's 2 quarts, because he held that 2 quarts is too large. It's not considered, it's not metal tamale v'rekan anymore. It's not considered to be a kli anymore. Abayi chazi l'Rava dekar davi l'marav. Abayi saw that Rava was looking toward the west. Why was he looking toward the west? So Rashi explains that he was looking mabit erev Shabbos lirosim yesham admum eschema. He was looking at the western side of the sky to see if there was some redness of the sun, to figure out if it's Shabbos yet or when Shabbos is starting. Amar leva tanya calls man shepnei mizrach ma'adimin. So Abayi saw Rava doing this. He said, "What are you doing? We just discussed yesterday that Rav Yehuda's shita is that whenever pnei mizrach, the eastern side of the sky is red, that's the definition of when bein hashmashos begins." So Amar leva misavert pnei mizrach mamish. Lo, panim ha-ma'adimin es ha-mizrach. Pnei mizrach doesn't mean the eastern side of the sky. It means the side of the sky that reddens the eastern side of the sky. Meaning, if you're able to look, with the western side of the sky shines, the sun shining from the west, the rays that come from the west reflect certain light on the eastern side of the sky. So you can look at the source. You don't have to look at the eastern side of the sky. You look at the source of where the sun is coming from. That's ma'adim the mizrach. As Rashi points out, la'erev chama shoka'as b'ma. In the evening, the sun sets in the west. And the rays of sun redden the eastern side of the sky, like a window. Just like a window that when you have sun shining through a window, the wall on the opposite side of the room is going to become bright from the sun shining through to the opposite side of the room. Ikeda Amri, Rava Chazi LaAbaye. Some say that the story was almost the reverse, that Rava saw Abaye de Kadavi LeMizrach, that Abaye was the one looking to the wrong side, but he was looking to the eastern side, like the Pasha Pshat of the Braisa suggests. Amrle Misavrit Pnei Mizrach Mamish Panamama Dimina Esa Mizrach. And Rava said to Abaye, what are you doing? You think that the Braisa should be taken at face value, that you just look at the Pnei Mizrach? No, it all depends on what's going on the western side of the sky. The Panamama Dimina Esa Mizrach. V'simanayich Kavsa. And the simon to remember this is Kavsa. What does that mean? What's Kavsa? Rashi says Chalon, a window. How's that the simon? Kamoshi Pirashti. So Rashi says, like I told you, that when the sun shines through a window, you see the rays of the sun on the other side of the sky. So that's the simon. So Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horovitz in the back of the Gemara says, wait a second, simanayich kavsa means that when the sun shines through a window, brightens the other side of the room, that's not a simon. He says, k'tzas dachuk lishon de simanayich, dahainu perusha de milsa. That's a pshat, that the pshat in why the western side of the sky matters, and we said pnei mizrach, is that it's the same pshat as a window, as sun shining through a window. It's not a simon. A simon normally is if you have two shitas, where one shita says A, the other shita says B, and you want to know who says which shita, so there's some sort of simon to remember that his name sounds like this shita. Is that's a simon. What kind of simon? Simanayich kavsa. So Blaz Moshe Horovitz says that no, we're not referring to what Rashi said before, that it's the sun shining through a window. Rava has there's somewhere else in Shas that we've already come across in this cycle of the Daf Yomi where a window plays a role in Rava's life. That Rava was the one at the end of Maseches Brachos that when he went to the bathroom, the Beis HaKiseh that he had a window in it, so his wife could stick her hand in and keep her hand on his head to make sure that he's safe from the mazikin, from all of the spiritual, negative spiritual forces that exist in the bathroom. So Rava is one who has an affiliation with windows. So if you want to remember which shita holds, the shita of windows, meaning who's the one that holds, that you look at the western side of the sky, because when we call it the Pnei Mizrach, it's only a din in a window. It's not a din that the Mizrach is really the determinant. The western side of the sky is really the determinant. That was Rava. In both versions of the story, that was Rava. In both versions of the story, Abaye was one that took it at face value. They just look at the eastern side of the sky. And Rava was the one who corrected him. So that's how... That's how Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horovitz understands the simon. Says the Gemara further. Now, Rabbi Nechemiah Omer Kadesh Yahalich Adam Mishatishka Chamachatzi Mil. That Rabbi Nechemiah was the second shita. We just finished the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda shita of Ben Hashmashos, either 3/4 of a meal, 2/3 of a meal, either starting from Shkia or starting some point after the setting of the sun. But Rabbi Nechemiah said that it's half a meal from the time the sun sets. Amr Rabbi Nina Harotza Leda Shiuro Shal Rabbi Nechemiah. If you want to know the shiur of Rabbi Nechemiah of when Bein Hashmashos is going to end, Yaniya Chama Barosh HaKarmel, you should leave the sun Barosh HaKarmel, meaning when you see the sun setting at the top of the Carmel mountain, V'yerid V'yitbal B'yam, you go down and be Tovel, V'yale, and then come back up, V'zeu Shiuro Shal Rabbi Nechemiah. That is the shiur of Rabbi Nechemiah. So that's the amount of time roughly that it takes to go a half a meal. What does v'yala mean over here? So this seems to be machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, where Rashi understands v'yala means that yala back to the top of the mountain that you came down from in order to be tovel, and then you'll know that it's already tseis hakochavim, and then kohanim are allowed to eat truma already. It's already vaday laila. According to Tosfos, v'yala seems to be on the tevila, that the tevila is also that before shkia, that the tevila counts. That v'yala just means that you're yotze, your tevila. The Ramban writes, the Yala means also la tefila, like Shita Satosos. The Rashba rejects it. He says, Yala means that, like Rashi says, that you go back to the har. But there's another pshat, that the Yala might mean that Yala rosho min amayim, that you that while your head is still in the water, the tefila didn't work. So if your head is, while your head is still in the water, the sun sets, it turns out that you were not tovel before Shkia. Meaning, there is a Shita of the Kesef Mishnah, in Avos HaTumah, Perek Vav, Alacha Tes Vav. What is the point of Tara in a mikvah? What is the point in time? When is the point in time at which a person becomes Tahar by going to a mikvah? Is it once you are totally submerged? now you are tar, or is it only when you emerge from the water that you become tar? So the Kesef Mishnah says it's only when you emerge from the water. It's not at the moment that you are submerged under the water. He's ein hatame nitar. Ella ba'aliyaso min amayim. Says, and the diuk from here is viyala, that it's not enough to be tovel. Tovel isn't enough. You have to be tovel va'ola in order for the tefillah to work. Ar Sameach tries to be medayik the opposite from here. I mean, the Gilyon on the side over here quotes the Vekasha LaRashba, lo hayilo lahaskir aliyah el kshiyerid v'yitbal v'sulo. Why does it have to mention that he comes back up? Just says yerid, just say yerid v'yitbal. You don't have to mention that he comes back up as well. So says the Ar Sameach in Mishka V'moshav, Perek Yud Beis, Halachav Beis, that you see from the Rashba's Kasha, that why is he bothered by the fact that it mentions v'yala? It must be that you're already are tahar before your ola, unlike the Kesef Mishnah. Otherwise, what's the Rashba's kasha? It's so obvious that viyala relates to how tevila works. But anyway, that's how to figure out Rabbi Nechemya's shita using Hara Karmel about when Ben Hashmashos begin, when Ben Hashmashos is going to end. Amar Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says if you want to figure out something else relating to Hara Karmel, Harotz Aliros Be'era Shel Miriam. If someone wants to see the Be'er of Miriam, Yala L'Rosh HaKarmel V'Yitzapa V'Yira Kimin Kavra Be'yam V'Zui Be'era Shel Miriam. Go to the Hara Karmel. You'll see there's like a basket in the ocean, and that is the Be'er of Miriam. Amar Rav Mayan Amitaltel Tahar. If you have a mayan, a natural spring of water that can be moved from place to place, that is tahar, and that is the Be'er Shel Miriam, because it was a movable natural spring of water. Says Rashi, tar mil kabel tuma v'tovlin ba. What does it mean it's tahar? It can't become tameh. It's not like a kli that can become tameh. And it is a source of tara. You could be tovel in it. The water inside of it is not considered mayim shuvin. It's not considered to be water in a kli. You're allowed to be tovel in it like any other natural spring. So any time you find a movable natural spring, that's totally fine. Says Rashi, ve'in lecha mayim mitaltel ella be'er shel Miriam. The only thing is, you will never find a movable natural spring other than the be'er shel Miriam. That is the only one that ever existed on this planet. So, but if you do happen to run into it, so you know that you could always be Tovel in the Be'er Shel Miriam. As we're continuing in the Zmanim Sugya, so we rushed a little bit at the end with the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Just wanted to maybe explain a little bit more detail the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, how it plays out halacha lemaisa in terms of our Zmanei Hayom. We had this Tosos on that raised the Kasha, the number one Kasha in Zmanim, the Pesach to the entire Sugya of Tzeis HaKuchavim, is the stira between Shabbos Daf Lamed Dalid and Pesachim Daf Tzadi Dalid. That in Shabbos Daf Lamed Dalid, we say that the Zman of Ben Hashmashos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is from the time the sun sets, let's go with the more the longer period of time, 3/4 of a meal later is the period of Ben, that 3/4 of a meal from sunset until 3/4 of a meal later is Ben Hashmashos. Once you hit 3/4 of a meal later, that's Tzeis HaKuchavim. Let's say a meal is 18 minutes. So 3/4 of a meal, you're talking about 13 and a half minutes after sunset, you should already be at Tzeis HaKuchavim. Are we up and running again over here? So Shkia tonight is 5:45, and we have Tzeis HaKuchavim listed as 6:27. It should be 5:58. This is not tonight. This is an old one. But let's say Shkia 10 days ago when the lights went out here was 5:45, so 13 minutes later would have been 5:58 would be Tzeis HaKuchavim, right? So that would be the halacha. But the problem is, the Gemara says explicitly in Maseches Pesachim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the amount of time between Shkia and Tzeis HaKuchavim is 4 meal. So let's assume a meal is 18 minutes. So 72 minutes. That's a significant difference. So there are two basic approaches. There are many more, but two basic approaches in how to deal with the problem. Rabbeinu Tam says that the way to deal with the problem is that there are two shkias. There's the earlier shkia and the later shkia. Tchila shkia and sov shkia. So when our Gemara talks about on a 3/4 of a meal, it's not talking about tchila shkia. It's not what we call sunset. It's a much later time. It's 3 1/4 meal after our sunset. And that's when Ben Hashmashos starts, which would mean that on Erev Shabbos, up until 3 1/4 meal after what we call Shkia, it's still Vada Yom and you're still allowed to do Malacha, according to Rabbeinu Tam. If you held Rabbeinu Tam through and through, you'd be allowed to do Malacha well after we are Mekabel Shabbos. Right? That would be Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. But on the other end, you'd have to be Machmir for Motzai Shabbos for a full four meal after Shabbos is over. That's Rabbeinu Tam's way of dealing with it. The Gra, the Gaonim, the other approach, the other basic approach is that there's what's called, it's not two Shkias, it's two Tzeisak Chavims. There's Tzeis HaKochavim and Tzeis Kol HaKochavim. That the Gemara in Pesachim is talking about four meal later, that's Tzeis Kol HaKochavim. That's not when Shabbos ends, that has some other nafkaminas. Tzeis Kol HaKochavim. But in terms of when Tzeis HaKochavim is, for when the day actually ends and the next day begins, that's only three quarters of a meal. It would turn out that if we held like the Gaonim, or through and through, we would start Shabbos at Shkia, because that's Ben HaShemashos. So Sefer Shabbos, of course, we'd add on a little more, but Shabbos would start at the very latest at Shkia, and when Shabbos would end, it would be three quarters of a meal after Shkia, which would seem to be pretty early. Rav Moshe, without getting into how we figured this out, but Rav Moshe essentially decided that in the New York area, Shabbos ends, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, let's back up a little bit. To say a number of minutes is the determinant factor of when Shabbos ends is ridiculous. I mean, let's not say ridiculous. It seems to be incorrect. It seems to be that darkness is what determines when Shabbos is, how dark it gets outside, not X number of minutes after sunset. And depending on the season, how close you are to the equinox, depending on the season, it can get darker quicker, it can get darker slower, depending on where you are on this earth. If you're closer to the equator or further from the equator, it will get darker at a different pace if you happen to live in Miami than if you happen to live in Montreal. That's the way the world happens to work. So Motzai Shabbos, let's say during the months of June, when Ben HaShemashos is the longest, it's going to take X amount of time. And during the month of March or September, when Ben HaShemashos is the shortest, it's going to take a little bit of a shorter amount of time till it gets to that level of darkness. So Rav Moshe said that in the New York area, there's no Shabbos that will last more than 50 minutes after sunset. That the even in the month of June, when Ben HaShemashos is as long as it could possibly be, 50 minutes after sunset, by then it's totally dark outside, and even according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Moshe's 50 minutes was not the Gra. Rav Moshe's 50 minutes was Rabbeinu Tam. He was Machmel like Rabbeinu Tam. He says, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, 50 minutes after sunset in New York, you're definitely at Tzeis HaKochavim. If you take that and then adjust that, say, okay, that's for June. That's when it's the longest. What does that mean for March? What does that mean for September? So then Shabbos could be over in March and September, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Moshe and Rabbeinu Tam, 40 minutes after Shkia. So if you just adjust it based on darkness, that's what would turn out in New York. That's why people come to our shul sometimes and wondering, where do our zmanim come from? How come it's not a set 50 minutes? Some shuls, they won't have marav until 50 minutes after Shkia every single Shabbos. They just don't want people to get confused, so they stick with the emotions 50 minutes through and through. But obviously, the shear is not a minute's shear. The shear is a darkness shear, and that shear does change over the course of the year, and obviously would change based on elevation and based on where on this earth a person happens to be. Now, based on Rav Moshe was Rabbeinu Tam person through and through, so Rav Moshe held that for the first for the first Gimel Rivei meal after Shkia, that it's Vada Yom still. Rav Moshe held that Ben HaShemashos does not begin until three quarters of a meal after Shkia. So that's why, if you've ever heard of Rav Moshe's 9 minutes, Rav Moshe holds that, let's say, to wash for Shalosh Shudas. You're not supposed to start a Su'uda when Shabbos may already be over, when it's already Suffolk that Shabbos is already over because you haven't made Avdalah yet. So you're not supposed to start Shalosh Shudas after Shkia. Rav Moshe holds, first 9 minutes after Shkia, you are allowed to start Shalosh Shudas because that's Vadayom. Or let's say a Hefsek Tara. A woman has to do a Hefsek Tara before she starts counting her Shiva Nekiyim. So many poskim will say, so you have to get the hafsek tara done before shkia, before what we call shkia, before sunset. Rav Moshe is purported to have said that even as a machlokas amongst his talmidim, whether he said this as a lechadchila or only as a bidiyaved, but that up until 9 minutes after shkia, you can still do a hafsek tara. That was that's Rav Moshe shita. Rav Moshe seems to have become more widespread minhag Yisrael over the last couple of decades. It wasn't always that way. It used to be that people would end Shabbos, whatever it was, 30, 35 minutes after Shkia in New York. They didn't wait when Rav Henkin was around. That's typically what they did. They didn't wait 50 minutes, but nowadays our minhag is to be machmir like Rav Moshe. That's why when Rav Shechter was here for Shabbos and I asked him about it, I explained to him how we do our Zmanim. You know, we do Rav Moshe and we adjust it based on the time of the year. So I was wondering how satisfied he would be with that, because a lot of shuls wait to daven Maariv till 50 minutes every single Shabbos, or we'll do 72 minutes or something like that. Like, you know, a very simple understanding of Rabbeinu Tam of 74 meals, 72 minutes, you know, no matter where you are on earth, which obviously, again, it's going to be different levels of darkness wherever you are. So Rav Shechter said, you wait till 50 minutes and then you adjust a bit. What a wonderful chumrah. Why is that? Why do you call that a chumrah? Because that wasn't always the minhag. The minhag used to be that people would wait whatever it was, 35 minutes or so, and then they would assume it's Tzeis Chavim. When Rav Silver was here, he said, well, since when does everyone keep Rabbeinu Tam? Everyone is machmi for Rabbeinu Tam over here. Everyone's doing 50 minutes. Yeah, that's the minhag. The minhag became like Rav Moshe, that we're all machmir for Rav Moshe's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, that's the basics of, very, very basics of Tzeis Chavim. So now, weiter in the Gemara, we're at the two dots, about 10 lines before the end of the page, on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Bein HaShemashos to Rav Yehuda, Kohanim Tovim Bo. During Rav Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, Kohanim can still go to the mikvah. The halach is that a Kohen, who's tame, goes to the mikveh during the daytime, then he waits for Harav Shemesh, he waits for nighttime, and then he's allowed to eat truma. So during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, he could still go to the mikveh. So Laman says, more according to who? Ilim the Rabbi Yehuda, if you want to say according to Rabbi Yehuda, Sveikahu, he can't still go to the mikveh because it's already a Safek Laila. He has to go to the mikveh during the day, so how could he go to the mikveh during Bein HaShemashos? Ela Bein HaShemashos to Rabbi Yehuda, L'Rabbi Yossi, Kohanim Tovim Bo. That, no, what we mean to say is Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Bein HaShemashos is a split second, will hold that throughout the entire period that Rabbi Yehuda defines as Bein HaShemashos, that's still Vadayom, and a Kohen is allowed to go to the mikveh during that time. Says Mar Pshita. Of course, why wouldn't Rabbi Yossi hold that way? Obviously, Rabbi Yossi holds Bein HaShemashos just Kerefayin, so it's the Herefayin after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos. So says Mar, no, Ma'u Detema, one might have thought Bein HaShemashos Rabbi Yossi, Meshach Shaykh Bid Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yossi's Herefayin occurs at some point during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, not after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos is over. I might have thought that it occurs at some point in the middle of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos. Kamash Milan, Deshalim Bein HaShemashos Rabbi Yehuda, Vahadar Maschil Bein HaShemashos Rabbi Yossi. That's why it comes to teach us that Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos ends, and that's when Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos begins, and then ends immediately after that, because it's Keharafayin. But his Bein HaShemashos is after Rabbi Yehuda's entire Bein HaShemashos is concluded. Amr Rabba Bar Bechan Amr Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Yehuda Le'inyan Shabbos V'Halacha Rabbi Yossi Le'inyan Truma. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Shabbos. We pass like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to Truma. So what does that mean? Bishlam Halacha Rabbi Yehuda Le'inyan Shabbos L'Chumra. I understand that we follow Rabbi Yehuda in regards to Shabbos. That means L'Chumra. Says Rashi Kolomer Midkam Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Yehuda L'Hachi V'Halacha Rabbi Yossi L'Hachi Shema Mina Misafkele. Whenever you say that the Halacha follows this opinion in regards to this Halacha, that opinion regards to another halacha, that means I don't really know which way the halacha follows. It's a suffix whether you pass like Rabbi Yossi, Hilkol Chal Korchach L'Chumra by Lemezel. So obviously, what it's telling us is because we're Mesupuk, we need to go L'Chumra. So Bishlam Akiyamar Halach Rabbi Yehuda L'Inyan Shabbos Ika L'Meimer D'L'Chumra Amra. I understand when he says to follow Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in regards to Shabbos, I could see what he means when he says that we should be Machmir for Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. What that means is Uberev Shabbos Amra. on Matzoi Shabbos, it would be a chumrah to follow Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos is after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos. So on Matzoi Shabbos, it would be a chumrah to follow Rabbi Yossi. On Erev Shabbos, it's a chumrah to follow Rabbi Yehuda. Shim asabo malacha, mevi asham talui. That if you do malacha during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos on Erev Shabbos, you have to bring an asham talui. You may have violated an isur of Shabbos. Avol b'matzoi Shabbos lo avdin kavasei l'chumra, to Bein HaShemashos tidei lelehu. But according to but on Matzoi Shabbos, we do not go like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the chumrah. The chumrah is to go like Rabbi Yossi on Matzoi Shabbos. So we get that. We understand what that means. Alach Rabbi Yehuda only l'chumrah in regards to Shabbos. But what does he mean when he says, Av l'inyan truma maihi? What does he mean when he says that we follow Rabbi Yossi in regards to truma? Ilem l'tvila, if it means to tell me that the Kohanim can go to the mikveh still during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, because Rabbi Yossi holds that that's Vadayom, so Kohanim are still allowed to go to the mikveh during that time. Well, that doesn't make sense. Sveikahi. I thought we're not sure, and we consider that period a period of Safek. Ela la'achilas truma. It must be that we're talking about eating truma. Delo achli Kohanim truma ad shalom Bein HaShemashos Rabbi Yossi. That Kohanim cannot just eat truma after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos is over. They have to wait till after Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos is over and then eat truma. So they wait until Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos is over. They blink and then they could eat truma. Because again, Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos is just keherafayin right after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos. But at least they have to wait for that blink. They have to wait for that split second before they can eat truma if they're able to measure it with precision anyhow. That's what they would have to wait for. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Kochav Echad Yom. In terms of observable phenomenon, if there's one star in the sky, then you know that it's still Vadayom. That's not nighttime. It's not even Bein HaShemashos yet. Shnayim, if there are two stars in the sky, Bein HaShemashos. Shlosha Laila, three stars in the sky, that's considered Laila. So this is the question. We just had one daf ago, a different definition of Yom, Bein HaShemashos, Laila. We discussed redness of the sky, darkness of the sky, and now we're talking about stars. So which is it? So one of the keys in figuring out the sugya of Zmanim is figuring out which is the halacha and which is a simin. Which one is the actual halacha? Because factors of, you know, when stars appear in the sky is determined by natural light a lot. There's a lot of artificial light that we have in our streets. The past week in North Woodmere, you saw three stars in the sky a lot earlier than we see it hopefully going forward. We'll see three stars in the sky because when there's a lot of artificial light, so it's harder to see the three stars in the sky. But in determining what the shear is the halacha about stars or is the halacha about darkness? So pashtus is, my father-in-law always said, the halacha is about darkness, because that makes the most sense, that darkness is the determinant of what's called laila. The kochavim is a simon l'davar to know when you've hit that level of darkness. But the kochavim can only be measured in a place where there's no artificial light. That's the only way to be able to look at that simon. Otherwise, the simon is not helpful at all. We now have more sophisticated ways of measuring darkness. That's why when you take, let's say, Rav Moshe's 50 minutes, we could say, okay, in June, the 50 minutes, we can measure how much below the horizon, how many degrees below the horizon is the sun. And that same level of darkness will be achieved whenever the sun is at that many degrees below the horizon. And then we can figure that out based on that. The Gemara couldn't figure out degrees below the horizon. That's not the language that the common man is going to be able to figure out. We can't look at it just by looking at the sky degrees below the horizon. So they have to give more observable phenomenon, like the stars in the sky. Tanya Namihachi, we have a brace like this as well. Kochav Echad Yom, Shnayim Bein HaShemashos, Shlosha Laila. If there's one star in the sky, that's daytime. Two stars in the sky, Bein HaShemashos. Three stars in the sky, That's already considered to be Laila. Am Rabbi Yossi, lo kochavim gedolim anirim biyom, lo kochavim ketanim sheinirin ela belaila ela benonin. What kind of stars? Big stars that you could see even when it's light outside? Tiny little stars that you can only see when it's dark outside? No, neither of those. average-sized stars, medium-sized stars. If there are three medium-sized stars, that's when you know that it's nighttime. Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, some Reish Sadivav writes that we wait, we're machmir, to wait for three small stars to end Shabbos. We wait for three kochavim ketanim, three small stars, because we're not such bikim to know what's called benunim, what's called gedolim, what's called ketanim. So we wait for even three of these small stars in order for Shabbos to end. But that's because we're not Bekiyin. The Sharmin Tzion Balach of your quotes from the Tshuva Sarivam that if the sky is full of stars, so you don't have to go finding three small ones. If you look up and you just see a bunch of stars, then you know that it's already Vaday Tzeis HaKochavim. He has a similar thing. We find such a thing in Tosos and Maseches Kiddushin, Legabe, a different halacha. Tosos and Kiddushin, Das Samach Gimel and Beis, talks about what is the sheer godless. When does a person go from becoming a katan or a katana to a gadol or a gadola? So we know the measurement is Shtei Sa'aros. If a person has two hairs. But even if the person has two hairs, it could still be a suffix if you don't know what age the person is. If they gil shanim, if the person is 13 years old, 12 years old for a girl. So they say that Tosus writes that if there are many sa'aros, ba'osom makom, so then you don't even need to ask an age. Once there are many sa'aros, so you don't have to sit there counting one, two. You see that there are so many, so then the age doesn't really matter. Then you know that it's Vaday Gadol. So a similar idea with the stars. You could sit there counting 1 to 3, but if you look up and the sky is full of stars, so then Vaday, you know that it's got to be Laila. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Zvida, Ha'osu Malacha B'Shnei Be'en HaShmashos Chayiv Chatas Manavshach. If a person does Malacha on two consecutive Be'en HaShmashos, on Friday night Be'en HaShmashos and Motzoi Shabbos Be'en HaShmashos, so he knows he's Chayiv Chatas, because he knows he did Malacha on Shabbos, because one of them was Shabbos. You know, Be'en HaShmashos is a suffix, but one of them was Shabbos. Rashi points out, wait a second, maybe he did a malacha the first 2 minutes of Ben HaShemashos on Friday night, and the last 2 minutes of Ben HaShemashos on Motzai Shabbos. And maybe the first 2 minutes of Ben HaShemashos are Vada Yom, and the last 2 minutes of Ben HaShemashos are actually Laila. So maybe he didn't actually do malacha. So he said, no, what this means is if he did malacha throughout the entire Ben HaShemashos, both on Friday night and Motzai Shabbos. Because as we said yesterday on Lamadalan and Beis, what the status of Ben HaShemashos is a three-way suffix. It could be Kulo Yom, Kula Laila, or part Yom, part Laila, where at some point in between there is the day turns. So this only works if he does the Malacha throughout the entire period called Ben HaShemashos. There is a sheet of the Ritva that the Rav Salvezhik once gave a whole Yartzeit shiur about, where the Ritva holds that it's not that Ben HaShemashos is that there's some point during Ben HaShemashos where it shifts from day to night, and we just don't know when that point is, and therefore the whole period is a suffix. No, it's not that there's a point. It's that Ben HaShemashos, that daytime is daytime, nighttime is nighttime. Ben HaShemashos is both day and night combined. We know exactly what it is. It is day and night. It's not that there's a point where it shifts. The points that it shifts are the beginning of Ben HaShemashos, where pure day ends and day-night begins, and the end of Ben HaShemashos, when day-night ends and night begins. But the entire period of Ben HaShemashos, the way the Ritva seems to say, is a combination of day and night. What do you do with something that has characteristics of two opposite things, of day and night? You treat it like a suffix. So the halacha is to treat it like a suffix. Not that in reality it's a suffix of what the Matthias is. It's treated like a suffix. So that would you wouldn't have to come on to Rashi that you're doing the malacha the entire time during Ben HaShemashos. Then it could be you do malacha at any point during Ben HaShemashos on Friday, at any point during Ben HaShemashos on Shabbos. If you're treating it like a suffix, you now know that you don't have to treat it like a suffix anymore, because the halacha would be that the miman of shech, you would have violated malacha. So Amalei Rava l'shame, Rava said to Hashamish, Atun delo kim l'chu b'shirud rabbanan adeshim sharesh tikli itl sharga. He says, you guys who don't know the exact shiurim of when Ben HaShemashos is, and you have to make sure you light candles before Ben HaShemashos, so when you see the sun at the top of the trees, so you should already light candles at that point in time. And that way you will be safe. That's a good time to light your candles. You're not going to have to worry about anything if you light at that point in time. What do you mean you're not going to have to worry about anything? What do you do when it's a cloudy day? Then how are you going to take care of lighting the candles? So b'masa chazi tarnagola. So if you're in the masa, you're in the town, so wait for the tarnagol. You could see the tarnagol that sit on the ala koros, Rashi says, mibod yom, and the behavior changes once it becomes ben hashmashos. So b'dabra orvi, and in the midbar, when you're not in town, look at the ravens, the wild birds that are, their behavior changes, I guess, as well. Inami adani, or look at a certain type of plant that whose leaves start shifting directions as it gets to toward evening time. And you see, when their leaves start shifting directions, then you know that it's getting toward evening time. So what was this advice? He's telling them when to light candles. He's not telling them when to start Shabbos. So we see that it's based on this, that our minig is that we light Neros before Shkias HaChama, because the most Amonam is not Bekim to know. So when do we light candles? We light candles 18 minutes before Shkias HaChama. We also may light candles 18 minutes before Shkias HaChama, not just because we're not such experts in knowing, because nowadays we have clocks, so we could figure it out. If there's a posted time, we could figure out 2 minutes before Shkia, we should be able to light candles. Why do we do 18 minutes before? So there is a sheet of the Urayim in Simon Reishai and Dalit, who holds that Ben HaShemashos, it lasts for 3/4 of a meal, but which 3/4 of a meal? The last 3/4 of a meal before sunset, before Shkia. So we light candles, and we know to be Makabel Shabbos, to be Machna, the sheet of the Urayim, 18 minutes, 3/4 of a meal, if you assume a meal is 24 minutes, 18 minutes before Shkia. So that could be partially where the 18 minutes comes from. Many are the minhag used to be for many people to light 20 minutes before, because you have the Urayim, plus you have 2 minutes of Tosef Shabbos. They always have to be most of Mechol al Kodesh. Exactly what the shear of Tosef Shabbos is a major machlok, as we've shown him. Tosef Mesech Ksubis and Daf Mem Zayin Amar Aleph sounds like it says the shear of Tosef is a Sha'a, which would be quite a chumrah if you had an hour of Tosef Shabbos before Shabbos every single week. Some people like to do that during the summertime, but there's a question whether that's even a kiyum of Tosef Shabbos if you're not doing it to be Moshe Michal al Kodesh, you're just doing it to have dinner at a more reasonable hour. Tosef Maseches Beitza says that we don't know exactly. It's lo huvra ashir. Beitza daf lamed, there's no shir that's really given for Tosef Shabbos. Tosef Maseches Rosh Hashanah daf tes, mashahu. Even just a mashahu is good enough for Tosef Shabbos. What do we pass on Allah? Magen Avram and Reish Samach Aleph quotes from the Minchas Kohen that it's gimel, that it's three minutes. That's enough for Tosef Shabbos. Our minhag seems to be 2 minutes. Whatever it is, some small amount of time that we're knowing for Tosef Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan says the Brisa further. Sheish tkios token erev Shabbos. They would blow 6 tkios on erev Shabbos to signify different things to prepare for Shabbos. Rishona lahafti l'sami melacha shabbosados. First tkia would indicate that the people working way out in the fields should stop doing their plowing, their planting, stop doing all the field work. Shniel lahaftil ir v'chanuyos. The second tkia is to stop the people in the stores and in the city from doing their work. Shlishis the hadlikas haner de Rabbi Nassim. Then the third tekiya was the zman hadlikas neros. That's when everyone was, Rabbi Nassim held, that's when everyone was supposed to light candles. Rabbi Yudah Nasi Omer shlishis lachlots tefillin. Rabbi Yudah Nasi says no. The third one was to remind people to remove their tefillin. The Reim Horvitz in the back of the Gemara just points out it's a little strange that you'd have a tekiya dafka nerev Shabbos to remove your tefillin. Shouldn't you have a tekiya every day to remove your tefillin? I mean, you don't wear tefillin at night. It's a din at night. It's not really a din in Shabbos per se that you remove your tefillin. So he discusses that issue. Because especially since you say, no, but wearing tefillin on Shabbos is a shvus. It's an issur d'rabbanan to wear tefillin on Shabbos by Laila. It's just not zman tefillin, but it's not a shvus. Yeah, but shvus, we shouldn't be gozer ben hashmashos. So why so early? Why do you have to remove the tefillin so early on Erev Shabbos? Okay, good kasha. V'shoh k'deit tzlias dag katan. Once you do that, you then wait the amount of time that it takes to roast a small fish, or k'deit lahadvik pas betanur, or to put bread in an oven, v'tokeh maria v'tokeh v'shoves. Then they would blow tkia through a tkia, and then you'd be shoves. That would signify the beginning of Shabbos. There's a major machlokas rishonim. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch Simon Reish Samach Gimel. What happened over here? We said that by the third one, they already light candles. And then you wait the amount of time that it takes to bake your bread and roast your fish really quickly, and then your shoves. So after Hadlakas Neres, we're still doing Malacha. So that's Machlokas Rishonim. The Bahag says that you we're not Mekabel Shabbos, Hadlakas Neres. Who says Hadlakas Neres is Kabbalah Shabbos? Hadlakas Neres we do in advance of Shabbos. Mekabel Shabbos, a little bit later, a few minutes later. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Bahag, and he also quotes the Shita of Tzcholik, the Ran. The Ran says, no, the Gemara doesn't say that they would actually bake their bread and roast their fish at this point. It says you wait that amount of time, and then you know that Vaday Shabbos has started. But not that they're actually doing these Malachos at that point in time. It's certainly too late once you light candles and you're Mekabel Shabbos. The pose of the Shilta Giborim in Daf Tesem Beis B'Dap Erev Os Dalid just points out that there's a difference between being Mekabel Shabbos al Yedei answering Baruch Hu in Shul and Kabbalah Shabbos by Hadlakas Haner. By Kabbalah Shabbos al Yedei Hadlakas Haner, yes, we are Machmir, that's considered Kabbalah Shabbos for you. But no one else has to be dragged into your Kabbalah Shabbos because of that. But if there's one shul in town and the shul says Baruch Hu, no matter what time it is that the shul says Baruch Hu, everyone is bound by that Kabbalah Shabbos. This is nogea very much l'maisa when people go up to camps for Shabbos, to summer camps for Shabbos. So a lot of times in the camps they'll start Shabbos early, and that's the only game in town. It's the only shul within miles of that. So everyone is bound by their Kabbalah Shabbos. So you say, nah, I slept 18 minutes, I can get up. No, you can't, because you're bound by that Kabbalah Shabbos if you're part of that community. You're not bound by the lich benching, but you're bound by their Kabbalah Shabbos in tefillah. Amr Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ma Naslam Bavliim Shetok Mariyim V'Shovsin Mitok Mariyim. So what am I going to do with the Babylonians? They are Tokea Moria, and they already are Shoves from the Trua. Token Maria and Avalu Chamisha. Wait a second. If they only are Tokea Maria, so then they skip the last skia. They only have five skias. They don't have six. Elish a token v'chosim a token umarin v'shovsim mitoch marin. No, they do tkiya trua. They do tkiya trua, and they stop malacha at the trua. Minig avasein biyadein. What are you going to do? That's the minig. That's what they're just following the minig avasein. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the back of the Gemara points out, who are we talking about? Bavliim that had this minhag. So he says, you see from here that this is not just an Eretz Yisrael d'ka minhag to blow some sort of tkios. He says, you see from here that this is a minhag that near ben gam bebavel atzma hayunogin b'tkios elu. And you find other poskim as well. The Meister Rokeach in Shabbos Perkei Alach Yudches mikan mucha chafilu b'chutz laaretz hayutokin ubekol ayaros shahayu sham Yisrael yukulam tokin. Whenever you have Jewish communities, if the community is completely a Jewish community, so they should be able to have some sort of signal for the beginning of Shabbos. Tomorrow's a pretty short daf, but I probably should have gotten a little further than this. Okay, we'll try to catch up tomorrow.